Welcome everybody to episode 20 in the Golden Arrow series, looking back on the BDO World Championship. And I'm delighted to be joined by the reigning BDO World Champion, Mr. Wayne Warren. How are you, Wayne?
Very good, Andrew, thank you. Considering the situation we're in.
Well, definitely. How's the lockdown been for you? Because I know the Ronda, you're sort of back under severe restrictions again.
Yeah, we're in the lockdown now. There's only certain places we can go to, certain things we can do. To be honest, I think it's going to be, what are you today? There was more towns and cities being locked down. I think it's two-thirds of Wales up at this moment time in lockdown, so we just will lock us all down, I think.
And I mean, looking back to the start for you, when did you first start playing darts?
Obviously, we all played as young kids, and I started playing in the youth centre. But I knew I was had something special because our local, my brother used to play in a team, and we played his team. And we were a youth club side, and we actually beat them. And they asked me to join them then, and I was only 16. But I said they give them a go ahead for me to go into the club where I was playing, but only into the bar. And then it progressed from there, and obviously I knew I had something in me, and I started winning tournaments, men's tournaments, and I started taking up serious. So I've actually been playing darts since I was 16, but obviously Super League side of it, I think I was about 28, 29. So it's been a long time. Like,
did you fall in love with the sport straight away?
Well, my whole family is a darts orientated, but I fell in love with it. I loved it. I woke up in the morning, I'd be on the board. Before I go to bed at night, I'd be on the board. So I actually knew, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Didn't realise I'd become world champion, mind, but you know what I mean, you really dream of them things, like.
Am I right in thinking that you made your debut at the World Masters in 2003?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And my first Lakeside then was 2005.
But prior to both of those, you nearly had to stop playing darts because you like suffered quite bad burns in an incident with a chip fryer, is that right?
I did, yeah. I thought it was the end of my career, to be honest. I spent 2 weeks in intensive care. I really thought it was over. I did, because I was an elephant. When they came around and they showed me my actual burns and that, I just break down. You always think of the worst. But to be honest, I spoke to the doctor and I asked him, and he said it's going to take time. And it did take time. I couldn't play darts for a long time. But it healed up lovely, and everything's fine.
So what actually happened?
There was a feud between the family, my brother-in-law and sister, I was at my parents' house. We'd only just buried my dad, in the November. This was December. This was a day before Christmas Eve. And he was smashing the place up, and I went down, and he had the chip. They'd had their food, and the deep fat fryer had cooled down, was cooling down, but he just picked it up and threw it over me as I walked into the door. He knew I was going to come down because we'd never seen eye to eye. But I didn't think nothing of it. I just thought it was water, actually. But then I started burning, and that was it. And I didn't, to be honest, the ambulance came. And I remember the ambulance turning up, and that was the last thing I can remember for about 5 days, I think. Yeah, easy 5 days. When they plopped me out.
Crikey. I mean, so when you then sort of qualified for the World Championship, so 3 years later, that must have been really special for you.
Absolutely. It was like just qualifying for it, it was like winning it. It was like winning it. For me to do that after what I'd been through, because even all my county colleagues, and they all said, like, what I've done since I got burnt is unbelievable, really. It's... because you lose your confidence and everything, do you know what I mean? But I just regrouped, and I thought, it's not going to beat me. I wanted to prove, and I wanted to play for Wales, and I loved playing for Wales, and I really did. And that kept me going, and I got to be honest, I'm so glad I kept at it.
When you actually made your debut in 2005, you were the only Welshman in the field that year. Was that strange?
Yeah, it felt strange, because every time I've played in there since, there's been Welshmen in there, so I've always had great support anyway, but it's nice to have somebody in the tournament you could speak to, and that. So I was on my own. But like I said, the support I had when I played Moving King, it was second to none. It was fantastic. It was brilliant. But don't get me wrong, it was an honour to be there. I was representing Wales. But I would like to have somebody else, like my mate Martin Phillips. He's a regular in these World Championships and what have you. Like, but not even he qualified. But and it was just been disappointed for me for that. Like, but anyway, I had to get on with it, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much. I wanted more of it.
How were the nerves when you walked out on the lakeside for the first time?
Indescribable. You know, I mean, it's hard because you can hear the crowd when you're in that practice room. You can hear the crowd, and then they get you ready. They say, look, you've got 10 minutes, you've got 5 minutes. Then it comes down to minutes and seconds. Then you're really kicking in. But once you're on that stage, once you leave your first three darts, go, has game on. I think your nerves, they don't go out the window, but you control them better. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Control them much better. Yeah.
I mean, after that, the World Championship qualifiers weren't very kind to you. 2007, 8 and 9, you lost in the penultimate round. How tough were those losses?
Very tough, very tough. Do you know what I mean? Before I lost that, I always used to think, I wonder how they felt, the losers felt, by being one game away. You know, I never thought I'd be that. So when it happened to me, I'm telling you, it's devastating. Because the long days, and you don't finish till late in the night. And to lose last game, not once, twice, three times, I never thought I'd get back there. And I always wanted to do the tour, look. And I've got there a few times with qualifying, but I wanted to do the tour and prove a point. I couldn't qualify through being ranked about that, like, but then I come up then, Paul Brown and the Big Five, they sponsored me. Obviously, to be honest, you've got a sponsorship. You need a sponsor to do these tournaments. And without them, they've been fantastic, I've got to be honest. They've been second to none for me.
Few years before you started doing the tour, 2012, you won your first ever ranking title at the International Open.
In Green Sands, yeah. I remember that day as if it was yesterday. Fantastic. Great feeling. Just there again and again. You know when it's your day. You know when you're playing well. And even you get the odd game, you've got to ride your luck. But I don't know, for some reason that day, I was just blowing everybody away. And I was. You know what I mean? And I was 2-0 down in one game, and I went 5-2 easily. But you know it's your day. You know, you doesn't have no bounce out. And I said to my brother, I said, I'm going to win this. And all the field was there, all the star-studded players, and, you know, so Shea, Pitt, and they were all there. Hard hands. But, to win that, I'll never forget that either.
Later that year, you did manage to get through the qualifiers, and I imagine that win over Aaron Turner to get a spot on the lakeside, that must have felt so sweet.
Well, me and Matt are big mates on the tour now, we'd talk about that all the time. And that day, I think it was Glenn Durant always said to me, he'd see me playing that day, and he said, "I that's what I want to play, because I beat Ryan Searle, I think in the quarters, and I beat Aaron in the final, and great games. I didn't miss nothing that day again. Nothing at all. And like I said, when I qualified for that, I was icing on a cake. Really brilliant, it was brilliant.
Again, when you did play at the Lakeside, you went out in the first round, but I remember watching that game with Alan Norris. It was a weird... Yeah, you scored far better than him, and your average was a lot better, but in the end, you lost 3-1.
I lost 3-1, yeah. I was get the miss, because I come out when I was 2-0 down, and I went off stage and we come back on, and I think I won that set there with 105 average, that set. And then I could have won the next set, and I missed a double 18, I think it was, and then he won that. And then when I realised I'd lost, and I thought to myself, how did I lose that? Because I don't think Alan wasn't on top of his game. It was a chance for me there. But, you know what I mean, you've got to take chances, and I was disappointed, really disappointed. And that's another first round there again, you know what I mean? It's dead in there. It's being playing at the Lakeside. I can't bear it. It was great. You know what I mean? But there you are. I thought, that's the end of me now, and my age. I was coming to an age, I was getting on top of me.
But I mean, later that year, you made the semi-finals of the World Cup for the second time in a row. What were the highlights for you playing for Wales?
I love playing for my country. When I first showed up my country, no prouder man, and I swear, I love playing for it. But that World Cup, I remember that one as well, semi-final. We had two Welsh boys on two different boards in semi-final. I think Jamie Lewis on one, and I was on the other. I thought, oh, it'd be great playing all, get all Welsh final. We both lost out, as my second one as well. I got loads of bronze, loads of bronze medals. But to get a semi-final of the World Cup, great. Great achievement. But it's all disappointing because you're actually playing, not only playing for yourself, you're playing for your teammates as well. Mm. It's a World Cup. It's all points combined. Mm. So the further you get, the points all total up. And so you're actually playing for the rest of the players as well. So you really feel, I felt more down losing our World Cup than I did when I lost in the first round of the Lakeside, because you're just leaving yourself down at Lakeside, but in the World Cup, but you're leaving the team down, sort of thing. That's the way I felt. But I enjoyed it. Probably every minute I played for this.
You did get a gold medal the following year, though, because you were part of the Wales team that won the team event of the Europe Cup.
Yeah, we did, aye. Yeah, me, Johnny Keaton, Martin, David Smithies, is it? Yeah, that was a great feeling. It's great to have a gold, not a bronze. They used to call me the bronze Adonis. But I remember that as well. Fantastic.
And in terms of caps for Wales, you're second only to Martin Phillips. But why did you choose a couple of years ago to retire from the Welsh team?
We were up in Scotland. I thought about it. Same, I'm going back to, I wanted to do the tour, right? Mm. I was up in Scotland and it just came on me. I said, right, me and Martin, who's a good mates on tour, good mates of Wales, and I said, this is my last international match. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm finishing. I want to do the tour, and it's getting on now. It's late in years with me, and I thought, I can't do them all. County, to play for your county, you've got to play county. So it's like dead money. I played county days for Glamorgan and what have you. I've done my bit for them, and I just wanted to do the tour to try and qualify as right then. The coach for the qualifiers, and February, and that's what I did. And I picked up a sponsor, and there we are. I said, you know what I mean? I enjoy travelling about, and because we got like Paul Brown, Nick Kenny, and okay, Nick Kenny's the PC. We're good friends as well, so it's not only they're not like a boss to you; they're good mates as well. And I really, really enjoy that. And I say it again, without the big five, Paul Brown and Steve Holmes and the rest of the boys, I don't think I'll be where I am now, to be honest.
So how did the relationship with Paul Brown actually come about?
A friend of mine, he was sponsoring a friend of mine, Richard Edwards, Tricky. And I was in a tournament, a local tournament one day, and he came on to me, Richard did, and he said, Paul Brown wants a word with you. And he said, is it okay if I give you my phone number? Like I said, yeah, no problem. I think he wants to have a chat about sponsorship. Love a chat. So he spoke to me. And we had a meeting, and everything he was coming up with, it was brilliant. I'd never had a sponsorship like Athletic and Red Dragon. They had a little sponsor with them, did my equipment or what have you, and good. And we had a meeting, and I signed up for them, and to be honest, I never looked back. I would never leave them down, and they've been so good to me. And now I'm sponsored as well with Red Dragon, so I'm on that side of it. I'm fine. It's just getting back to the dark side of it now with this COVID.
I mean, when you did do that tour for the full year, you made three semis, five quarterfinals. You seem to be playing really well, but how did you find it going from the change to doing county and so on every weekend to, you know, going to Belgium and Denmark and Germany? And
The hardest part is all the airports and hanging. Once you're there, you settle in. I like to have a little drink before I play and whatever. So, as long as it's... Once you're in the hotel, you're right. It's right. That's the only hardest part. But it's a vast difference than playing county. Vast difference.
Hmm.
the talent that's out there, especially these youngsters, do.
Mm.
My first year, I found it very hard because the reason being, I was playing like seeded players early on.
Mm.
Because when you're seeded, obviously they you don't play so early in the morning. You get a bye more or less in the first rounds, or you could get, you know, you could get a deaf player, but then again, you could get a sharpshooter as well.
Hmm.
But once I started winning one, I become seeded then, and you find it a lot easier then. You're not playing opposite 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You're playing opposite 11, 12, hmm. which is a massive difference to get yourself motivated and get yourself up for it. Because it's like getting out of bed and going straight in the venue and straight on the hockey. But I do like the side of traveling with the boys, what we have a good laugh as well. Like, you know what I mean? We were just like one family we are.
Mm.
You know, when we were up in Europe too, and when they all the sponsors and five partners, they were all there, and it was great. The boys.
2018, you were back at the World Championship, and you'd obviously qualified on merit, which was what you'd wanted to do. And I remember the pundits and stuff talking you up beforehand and saying that, you know, you'd always been a very dangerous player for your county, for Wales, and now you were playing the tour week in, week out. You were a man to be feared. You came out and absolutely battered Wesley Harms. That must have been special to get that first win.
To get the win there was special to me. You know, I always wanted to play on the stage, but to have a win on the stage, that is, you know what I mean? And when I was drawn against Wesley, look, Wesley was always top three seeds in his tournaments, and we played each other a couple of times. He beat him a couple of times, beat me, obviously. But I don't know, I just felt great, I felt confident. When the draw came out, I weren't phased. I never looked who I got next round or the round after. I always play game at a time.
Hmm.
And like I said, to beat Wesley, I was full of confidence then. You know, after beating him, I think he was number two seed, I think, was he? And then you start looking at him, and I think I beat him. Another Dutch boy, yeah? Hmm. William, I think, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, William, But another one does a tour top. There's no easy game, is it?
No.
You know what I mean? There's no easy game. But to get our first win in the Lakeside was... That was great. Absolutely brilliant.
And I remember watching that game on the TV, and one of the things that struck me, I think it was a Sunday evening when you played Wesley, and your daughter in the crowd was possibly the most vocal supporter I'd ever seen for anyone. What did it mean that you were always, you know, so popular and had so much support with you?
I remember that. I had loads of support up there as well, mind, you know what I mean? But could you mile away? She's out. She's been to a lot of tournaments. She never missed a Lakeside, and she was up the O2. But it's not only her. I got a lot of local support, and my local mates, they follow me everywhere. People say, can you hear them? You can hear them. You can hear them, definitely. You can hear them voicing for you. And I think it got to Wesley, to be honest. I think, because we've spoke about it loads of times after, and did mention like there's one or two voices out the turn, which I don't know if it's sour grapes or I expect he had a bit of a gripe, but he was great though, right after. He's fine, you know what I mean? But it is nice to have our vocal support.
The following year, 2019, you came back in again. You were a seeded player and you played, you know, someone you'd played with for Wales a number of times, Mark Layton, in the first round. Was that hard playing, you know, a friend and someone you knew very well?
Do you know, when our draw came out, honest to God, I had text messages and that, so I phoned Mark, personally phoned him, and he said, I'm gutted, and I said, I'm gutted as well, like, you know what I mean? All the draws there. I didn't enjoy our game one bit. Then I think that was a Sunday evening. I didn't enjoy it one bit whatsoever. But when it was over, I enjoyed it then. it was not nice to play in Vietnam, like, you know what I mean? Mark, great guy. But, and it was his first time there as well. It was his first time for Lakes, I think. Because, it was like, he just got in, he did. He scraped in by a point, I think it was.
Mm.
Yeah, because I remember we went up to, he was sharing a caravan with me in Chelsea. And he goes up there, and he went to go to the tournament, and he forgot to enter it. So he couldn't play all our weekend. So I cost him all the points. So he thought he wouldn't make it to Lakeside then, but he just scraped in by a point. So.
I know in the next round you went out to Michael Unterbuchner, and that's another one where you look at it, you lost 4-0, but that was no way a 4-0 game. It was very, very even.
It would be fair if I had won 4-0. The amount of darts I missed at doubles, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's the truth, because I think that year I beat him in the World Masters. To Michael. And then, because he said to me after, as I do back for the Masters, but he only laughing he was. But yeah, I remember that. Terrible. I was getting it already. It is what it is. You know what I mean? I missed the doubles. I scored okay. I was first on in the afternoon. I remember that.
And last year, you got to quite a few finals. You were showing really good form. And then last August, you won the Antwerp Open, your first ranking title in 7 years.
Well, I tell off that. Yeah, I won that. And I thought, right, I'm coming into form, nice, great. And then I had a bump, and I had my hand in work. I broke my wrist and whatever. I was out 5-6 weeks. So I couldn't play in the World Masters then, are you? That last year. And then I qualified to play in the Grand Slam, didn't I? And the darts I was using then, they were like too light for me. I was only using 17 grams, 17.5 grams. And after I come back from the Grand Slam, I spoke to one or two boys up in the Grand Slam. I got hold of my sponsors, Red Dragon. Went on the factory, they made me new darts then for the O2. Same ones, same type, but a little bit heavier, and went up to 19 grams, and I'm massive because of my wrist, and it's a massive difference. And that's the ones I throw in now. Yeah, 19 grams is a great difference, hell of a difference.
So it was those darts that you changed to only a couple of months before that were the ones that powered you to that world title?
When I come back from a Grand Slam in November, something like that, and I went out to see Lee in the Red Dragon. They had me down there, and they made me do that. So I had them actually from the latter end of November. So I had them in all December, and I played them in January in the O2. So I actually had about six weeks practice with them.
Wow.
That's the most. But that's the ones I'm living now. Brilliant.
And I know the results didn't go your way, but how did you find the whole experience of the Grand Slam last year?
Different class. The whole thing, as soon as you walk into the door, it's absolutely fantastic. It's top professionals. Honest to God, you're looked after, you know where you're going to do, you know where you've got to be at a certain time, this, that. Everything is professional. And to play in front of that crowd and everything, it's... You can't explain. You've got to experience it first. You can't. It's very hard to explain. Oh, it's very great. It's very good. I never thought I would go back here, but I wanted when I didn't think it was going to happen this year because we didn't know what was happening with the PGO or all that. So I didn't think they would have any. But I'm back in this year in the Grand Slam, and I'm looking forward to it.
Your injury cost you a place at the World Masters, but with everything that happened with the redraws and the fake names, were you glad that you weren't there for it?
I was sitting at home and I was laughing. Honest to God, I thought, what a shambles. How can you put fake names in, redraw? I said, I'm glad because, if I see the draw, I get focused up and just say for this, I'm on 2 o'clock. I'm focused. 1:30, 9, right clock off. And then all of a sudden then, announcement then, redraw. So that means that's gone, you're up there, 1 minute, and down. Shambles. I knew what was going to happen to the redraw just after that weekend.
And obviously you'd only just had the new darts, you were coming back from the injury. How were you feeling going into the
O2? Well, to be honest, I was feeling quite confident. I was so annoyed for them, you know what I mean? There was always in the back of my head how they were going to go because of the new darts.
Yeah.
But I was practicing them in the practice room. I thought they were going really great. But then when the draw was out, I drew all slow players. Just in, not because they don't try on purpose, that's the way they throw. And like just in then I go home, drew past him, and I felt great with him. And you know, it was my week, and that's it. And even after I won that, I went to Romania and Slovakia. I won two tournaments there as well. Semi final at Dutch Open with them. They were great.
I mean, I think one of the things I noticed, at the O2 this year was the way that, as the games got on, you seemed to, get even better as the games went on. So your last set against Andy Hamilton, I think you finished with a 115 average. Against Scott Mitchell, you were behind early on and then just motored all the way through to beat him 6-3. And you saw the same thing in the final as well. Was that something you'd worked on, or did you just, the longer you're up there, you felt more confident?
I think the longer the game is, the better I am. I like long games. You know what I mean? He's the best of five laps, and they're very intimate, can be, you know what I mean? But I like playing sets. I like match play. You know what I mean? As long as there's a lot of legs. Yeah, I'm a big believer in myself of a long game. I am, because I got the game for it. Like, at the end of the day, I got the experience. I've been playing long enough. Yeah, I do like a long game of darts.
After you got through the semi against Scott Mitchell, how did you sleep the night going into the World Championship final?
Not really good. Not really good. I just kept on waking up and pinching myself. Is it real? Like, I'm in the final, you know what I mean? And I always thought I would, how the finalists prepare themselves and how do they feel overnight and what they do in a day. And until it's yourself, then you did do your own thing, and I did do my own thing. I didn't sleep much. I didn't sleep very good, to be honest. I didn't. Obviously, you think about it, but it's playing gym. You know what I mean? Good mates. Yeah, mates. Simple and is it sort of strange again playing your friend? But if somebody said I was going to play gym in a final, I would have taken that. I'd have bitten my hand off on it. And it was played in a good spirit as well. Very good spirit.
It was nice in a sense, you'd gone from 2005, you're the only Welshman in the field, to 2020, it's two Welsh boys in the final.
Yeah, you're right there. Well, in fact, in the end, even the caller was Welsh as well, the last one. Yeah, Darren. So it was like three Welsh boys up on the stage, but to have an all Welsh final in a world final, it's special, isn't it? I mean, it's just pity not to be a loser. Because I thought Jim played well. I watched it back, and I you know what I mean? Even at the last leg of the last set, I know I missed a 12 and missed a bull. And then I'm out in 14 darts, and Jim was sitting on double 19. So if I had missed 10, and that set was 2-all, so what if he had won that set? And then, oh, no. See, it was a close game. I know, like, it was 7-4, it's... Looking back on it, what I watched, it seemed a little bit closer than that, you know what I mean?
You know, when that winning double went in, after everything you'd been through to get to that point, what was the emotional release like when that winning double went in and they said that you were the world champion?
Unbelievable, I swear to God. It's like a dream. It was like, I swear, I can relive every minute right now. I just looked up to the heavens. My parents had passed away in the snap, and I was only wishing they were alive to see it. And Still, sometimes to this day now, I can't believe that I'm a champion, like, because with this COVID as well, I would like to go around up till March before they locked down. I took the cup wherever I went. I'd done a few exhibitions, I'd done a lot of things of charity, I'd done my local schools with the cup, and I was enjoying it. And you know what I mean? My local village and that, it's been great. It's been a great experience, and I got to be honest, on our stage at O2, well, I'll never, ever, ever forget that. I didn't think I would have been the oldest. I don't think of anything like that. Do you know what I mean? I knew I had a game to beat Jim. I've beaten Jim a few times before, many times, and vice versa. I knew I had a game to beat him. If I could stick with him early doors, that's what I wanted. But I gave him two sets start, and I thought, that's, you know what I mean? I got to do something here now, and I'm going to offer a break. I spoke to Paul Nwanja, and he fair play. We chat, said a couple of things, which we did do it, and that's not, and it worked for me. I sort of slowed down in between throws, but kept the pace up on my throw, and when I was slowing down, I was throwing too slow, and I'm not like that, but that's something I changed a little bit. But it was great spirit. We come off stage, you know, we were always talking to each other on board to board, and he had his, but he has man job with him, and whatever. Yeah, it was great atmosphere to play in.
And you were able to add your name to the list of world champions, you know, Leighton Rees, Richie Burnett, Mark Webster, Wayne Warren. Have you got used to people saying that you're a world champion now?
No, I haven't. Seriously, no. It's, I still live every day, same as when I wasn't, you know what I mean? Where I would have been if this COVID wasn't about. But, to be called world champion, it's not real sometimes. I never thought it ever happened to me. Never, ever, ever. But dreams do come true, I suppose.
You know, I think a lot of the interviews I've seen you've done, the focus has been on, you know, the money. And I understand that. But do you think, in a sense, it's kind of taken away from what you actually managed to achieve?
I can tell you this now. Like, when I was on, when I went in double winning, I weren't playing up there for the money. We knew we were going to have the 100,000, but we've had so many figures branded about. You know what I mean? I thought, God, I'd have 50,000 or 60,000, 50,000 I thought it'd be, but I didn't even think about the money. When it does settles after then you do think about the money, what you had, and the way it was handed to you, and this, that, the other. Personally, I got. There's the best thing for him to do is pack in darts completely, because our man, and her, he shouldn't be allowed to run anything, to be honest. He showed his true colours when presenting the cup on the stage. He was nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. As chairman of the video, sorry. Nah. But it's taken a bit of the shine off it, obviously. It had, because I should have been, well, we all know it was 100,000, but we weren't having that. But I thought at least 50 grand richer. Do you know what, if you understand what I mean? But I just, then I thought, right, I got to just do as many exhibitions kind of to regenerate some of the money that's gone back. But I was doing okay until March. And then this COVID came in, and it's been one hell of a year, hasn't it? Not for me, but everybody.
You know, for me, the focus should be on what you achieved, which was, you know, being the oldest person to win that world title, but just winning the world title in of itself and playing at a very high standard all week, you know, 90 plus averages every game. And you were well on course for 100 average during that final as well. Obviously, it was, you know, a hugely emotional time. Did you consider going to Q School?
I was. Before I went up to O2, I was going to Q School anyway. I was going to Q School right the way up, and I won it. And I was still going to Q School, but then when I had that email off Des, which was, I come home on a Monday from the O2, and we was going up to Q School, I think, on the Wednesday night of, I had email on Tuesday night, 12 o'clock, to see how much money I was getting. And, you know, that's why I was head shot. And you've got to be on top, you've got to be, you have a clear head when you go to that cool school. Look, there's no ifs or buts about it. So I just spoke to Moore. I said, I'm not up to it to go in. And simple as, I spoke to Simon down the Red Dragon, and even he said to me, to be honest, Wayne, I think you're doing the right thing with the new schools, because you've got to be there full on. Head clear. And I just, my head was shot. I got to be honest. I just didn't want to bother, I didn't want to do. I'll be honest. It's the way he sent the email, the way it came about, and because everything was like, every email I've had off theirs was 12 o'clock in the night. What was the other email I had for? I was around at Christmas time. That was 12 o'clock in the night. Everything was late. And I said to Paul, I can't. I just, so fair play to Paul. He understood where I was coming from. He stuck by me, and I give it a miss, and I said, I'm glad I did mine, because I don't think I would have done myself justice by going, to be honest.
You know, in the events you were able to play this year, you know, Romania, Slovakia, Holland. You played really well. But what was the reception like in those countries, you know, you going in as the world champion?
Brilliant. I tell you, well, I took the cup to Romania. They asked me, will I take it to Romania? And I took it to Slovakia. I didn't take it to the Dutch Open because if you go to the Dutch Open, you're talking about 4,000 or 5,000 people there. Anything could happen to it, you know what I mean? And at least it was a showpiece in Romania, and they loved it. They loved me, Slovakia. They were brilliant. Even in Holland, the reception I had in Holland was fantastic. Like, you know, you got TV lanes, and normally you play your game on a TV lane, and then you play off. I played every one of my games on a TV lane, due to, I expect I was world champion, and they really treated me like a world champion, I gotta be honest. And Romania and Slovakia. I loved every minute of it. And then, like you said, then you had all this and stopped. That was the last one that we done in Slovakia.
I have to say, Romania, I thought, was a lovely moment because it was Nick Kenny's last event before he went to the PDC. What? You won one of the tournaments, he won the other one, and it was sort of like a nice send-off for him and a nice moment for you as well.
It was great, yeah, it was. Because it was his... No, don't get me wrong, he was overjoyed. He had a tour card, but he was disappointed because it was his last tournament with us. Because, like I said, we like family, are we? We all together, we're brothers, and we enjoy it, you know what I mean? Although we're playing darts, we all stick together. But yeah, it was really nice to see him winning on a Sunday, and I won one on a Saturday, so and it was good, nice for Paul as well, and the boys, you know, sponsors. It's good for them, because they've been great listening.
So looking ahead, I know you've got the Grand Slam later this year, and are you going to be giving Q School a go next year?
I think I will be, yeah. I spoke to Paul. I'm going to weigh the WDF up and what have you, see what's what. And I'm going to play by ear at the moment. It's not a definite. Look, you see all these boys in King's Boot and all these youngsters. I'm no spring chicken. I'll be 59 now next year. So I'm going to weigh it all up and see what's what. Speak to Paul, and then we're going to go from there. And if I do decide, I will be there. If not, I will be in the WDF for the rest of my playing career. But we'll see. We'll wait a little down the line, see what happens in Grand Slam, and we'll all up and go from there.
And in terms of the rest of your playing career, do you have an idea of how long you want to keep playing for?
I want to keep playing to an IE standard. It's when I can't play to an IE level IE standard, then I know, then I'll decide the touring side of it will be gone. So I got no age time or anything. I'm not saying I'm going to retire when I'm 60, because Mark Adams is still doing it now, and he's 64 or whatever he is. So, you know what I mean? I could be years down the line, but if I'm not playing at that level, then I know when to call it a day.
And if I have to put you on the spot, I think I know what the answer will be to this, but if you had to pick one thing as the biggest highlight from your career, what would it be?
Winning our World Championship by a mile. by a mile. Beat all my Welsh caps when I had my first Welsh cap. And then winning our World Championship. I won the Gold Cup. I loved it when I won the Gold Cup. But winning that World Championship by miles, the highest point of my career.
Thank you very much, Wayne, for your time this afternoon. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I have to say, your win, you know, at the start of the year was a lovely moment to be there for it. And I was delighted for you.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much.